we're up to Simin Samach Dalit. Okay, Rabbi Meyevsky is going to help us out over here. This is your business. You're going to tell us some chidushim about Samach Dalit. Simin Samach Dalit. Let's see. Halacha Aleph. Kol davar she'osra min ha'tor be'achil la'afi shehu mutar b'hana. Anything which is osra min be'achil, even though it's b'hana, im hu davar hamyuchad la'machal, osra la'asai spoy tzchora. Or la'halvos, you're not allowed to be involved in business with things that are not kosher. Okay, so you're not allowed to own a Burger King or a McDonald's. Okay, because they serve basar b'cholof. And things which you're not allowed to eat, even if you're allowed to derive pleasure, basa b'cholof, you're not allowed to derive pleasure either, you're not allowed to be involved in business. Oy lahalvois love water or lahalvois love to lend, to use as collateral, rafil liknoisa lahila lupal makhli, you're not allowed to buy it to give it to your workers. It's a very big problem when you have workers. You have people, construction workers, people are involved in business, so you have to buy for your workers, you have to buy them lunch. And what kind of lunch do they want? They want cheeseburgers. They want what they're used to.
Yeah.
So the Baal HaBayis, it's very common. They have assistants. People are electricians, plumbers, or people contractors, and they want their workers to work harder. And they said, I'll pick up the lunch for you. What do you want for lunch? And the worker says, I will for lunch. I want to go to McDonald's. So you are you allowed to buy them? No. So it says you're not allowed to. This is a very important halacha. Gafilu, to buy them non-kosher food. You're not allowed to go into a store to buy for a worker non-kosher food. Gafilu liknoiso lahachilu lepo'alim akum. Osir. That's a very important halacha which not every person is aware of. It's no good. I just think back many years ago when my parents moved to Flatbush and my parents, they bought a house here in the neighborhood, and a lot of work had to be done. Not talking about contracting, we're talking about like just at the end to clean up the house. So my parents hired like a cleaning crew, a minimum wage cleaning crew. And I remember my mother, she went out to buy them lunch. And my mother asked them, what do you want for lunch? I know, I was a little kid. So I remember he said, beer. He wants beer. So he was my mother. She bought him beer. But it was these type of workers, they can ask for all these crazy different things. So you can go into a ShopRite. You don't have to go into a. Maybe you're embarrassed. Go into a Burger King. People are not embarrassed, here. But even if you just go into a ShopRite, you can buy them all the different types of tarfos that they want. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to be involved in buying non-kosher food, or even to feed your workers who are non-Jews. Oser avol davashed oibin lachila. However, let's say you have a product which is not kosher, but it's not meant for eating. It's meant for other purposes. For example, susim v'chamorim, horse and donkeys. It's not kosher, but I'm not buying a horse and a donkey for the purpose of eating, for slaughter. It's illegal probably anyway in America. But I'll be buying it for the purpose, other purposes of sport, whatever I'm involved in. Mutar la'asos b'chem schor. You are allowed to be in the business of horse, non-kosher animals, if they're not meant for consumption. V'chelev gam kein mutar. What about fats? Chelev is something which is forbidden to eat. That is the exception. Although chelev is also, that we'll see in the few moments, dealing with chelev from a kosher animal. Not dealing with chelev from a non-kosher animal. We'll see in a moment. The chelev gam kein mutar b'schora. You're allowed to be dealing with fats. Shaharei nemabo ye osel l'chol melachas v'feresh apostik in the Torah, that chelev you're allowed to derive benefit. Is that the sixth parasha? Is it the sixth parasha, Perek Zayin? I don't remember. Could be the sixth parasha even. Ye osel l'chol melach. Okay. Let's go halacha base. Im nizdami l'adam b'gat
cry. Ask you, where is the... Where is Mina?
Is this parasha? Shmini? Okay.
I'm asking, where is the source that Hamor is Asur and Sus is Asur?
No, they're both Asur. They're both Mutter. It says they're both Mutter.
Sus.
It says Mutter. Kegoyne Susim Vachamarim Mutter. You're allowed to be involved in selling horses and donkeys as long as you're not. No, it's Asur.
Where is the source, you say?
That's the Allah Midrabanan. It's also Midrabanan.
He's going to say I want to be written in the Tanakh that Asus,
it's Asur, not also in that Torah, it's also in the Rabbanim, because he may come to eat. If you're involved,
says in the time of Elisha Navi, when the Gehazi and his son are outside at Mesorayim, and they are going around the Aramim, it says Asus Asur Vechamor Asur.
There it doesn't mean it's
in the Machane. No,
it's tied up. It's tied up. Halacha base. Im nizdam in ladam ba'akrai davar asur. Now this point, how you listen now? What should you be thinking? What happens? How then do they make parnasa in a kosher slaughterhouse? Because a significant portion of the animals that are slaughtered are not kosher. So what do they throw in the garbage? How much? How much does a cow cost? They don't have a cow. So what is it? That's it.
Yes.
A cow just costs a few hundred dollars. Okay, so what happens if it's a treifa? What, you're going to throw it in the garbage? You're not going to throw it in the garbage. You're going to sell it to the non-kosher buyer.
That's why the halacha was in 1935, they wrote a paper, a position paper, from the Rabbanit HaRashit of the United States, that you're not allowed, a Jewish person is not allowed, I mean, a Jewish business is not allowed to own a slaughterhouse.
Why?
Because they don't give it up for them. Then they do better by having, you know, say, the animal, it's okay. It's kosher. Because they're losing the whole animal. Because they don't have any outlet for it otherwise. But if you're just like most companies except for one, they buy, in other words, they contract, they go to a Schlachthaus that's owned by a Shegetz, and they buy the Shechita for a day. And if it's they're buying the animals that are kosher. In other words, they're going to pay more per animal because they're only buying. Everybody knows what the normal percentage is going to be.
Right.
But basically, they are not going to. They have no shaykes to the animals that are trained. The animals that are not kosher. So you don't have. You're not no gay b'dubba. If it doesn't come out, it doesn't come out. It's, you know,
it's not yours.
It's not yours, and it's sold off. So to mitigate the cost. But nevertheless, it's not as damning in that respect.
The anti-Semites.
Because otherwise it looks very bad. And the problem was all the time with the one company that did own the Schlachthaus ended up in big trouble. And every once in a while there would be a story where an animal went on the wrong track and ended up in the kosher section.
Mm-hmm.
The anti-Semites in England started a campaign against eating by McDonald's. Because the lamb and the veal they eat are coming from Shechita.
Really?
Yeah, because they say it's the Jews that rejected
it. Rejected it.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, in the Zdam Ledam Akrai Devar Asar, what happens if occasionally it comes into your possession something which is also to eat? Kegoyin, for example, should saw dog in ba'olah b'mitzudos a dog tamei. Person, this happens all the time. This is a very big issue. You trap fish, and then you find in the neck you find non-kosher fish. L'chei mishne is damelo in avelo treifa b'beisa. Person shechs an animal, and guess what? It's a treifa, or the animal dies prematurely. It's an avelo. So are you allowed? So now I don't want to lose money. I want to sell the animal for a profit to a non-Jew. Are you allowed to do this? We just learned from the previous page, the previous halacha, that you're not allowed to do this. Mutar l'machram. In this instance, it's permitted to sell the non-kosher fish, or non-kosher animal to a non-Jew. Kevon sin shaloi nischavim l'koch. That was not your original intent. Your original intent was I only want to trap kosher fish. I want halavai that my animals, the shechita should be kosher, should not be an avail or treifa. V'tzarech l'machram. Yeah, there is one condition. You must sell it immediately. Don't hoard it. Don't try to hold it in your possession for a prolonged period of time, freeze it in order to get a higher bid for the product. For lo yamtin ashetehe shmeina etzlo. If you know the animal is alive, the animal is a treifa, don't keep it in your possession that it should get fat. The yochol period. The yochol lebochon gam al yidei shliach. You could also sell it to a middleman. Afal pisha shliach yarviach bo. Even if the middleman, you have a Jew who's going to be the middleman, he's also going to get a profit. He's going to get a commission. It's also so fine, it's only back rye. Avalosha yikne hashlich lachalutin dim kane have it's lo closer, but if the shliach, the middleman, he actually becomes, buys it, so then he's buying l'chatchil for the purpose of making profit, and that it violates the halacha we said before, that you're not allowed to be involved in the business of things that are not kosher. It's a gzer mit rabbanan. If you accustom yourself to being involved in non-kosher products, you may come to eat the non-kosher product. Halacha gimel. V'chin mutar ligbois b'choyva dvarm t'meim. Let's say the only way you can collect a loss, someone owes you money, the only way you can save yourself from suffering a loss is by collecting non-kosher products, and you'll sell them right away. It's mutter. Just do not keep it in your possession for a prolonged period of time, because that is a violation. But I'm not keeping it in my possession to make profit. I'm just keeping it for a prolonged period of time in order that I should not lose money. That is permitted. For example, Givina Shel Nachri, cheeses of a non-Jew, that's a Takana Chazal, time of the Gemara, that's been made by a non-Jew that we once learned all the problems. Those type products you are allowed to engage in business. Now let's see what it says in the Shonim of Halacha. Yeah?
Excuse me then. The headgear for certain businesses to operate in the wholesale market is to take in non-kosher product was that if they can exhibit the fact that if they didn't carry certain products, they would lose significant amount of business because customers wouldn't buy from them. They want to have one-stop shop. You want to be able to buy 20 items if you only have 15 because this you don't carry. But where it stops is with the bus of the car. Over there it stops. There's no hector on bus of a cholah, but on other things, if I want to carry like the grape juice that's not, or various other things.
These are limited rabbi, most of those things.
Right. Exactly. Well, once you hit bus of a cholah, that's where you draw the line.
That's what they're right. That's even more common because that's something which is asur b'hano. That's even us. The Rosh Hashanah is more chomer b'chlal. Let's say you want to go carry, you have a supermarket, you have a...
That's what was explained to me when I started
work,
on my business.
But let's say you have a shop, right? You want to sell not pasta. You want to sell nevelus or treifas. You want to sell a line of non kosher mamish, non kosher. Right. So are you allowed to do that? So you're saying a chiddush. So that would also be mutter.
The problem with selling non kosher deli is bus v'chalav, because the casings on the wall, even it used to be some of the kosher stuff that wasn't glatt, that the casing that the deli comes in has milk in it. And that's what made it, you know, when you eat a Frank, you used to have it had that snap to it, and you were able to eat the casing. So the casing was animal derivative, so it was, you could digest it, but it has milk in the casing, has dairy in it, and therefore you couldn't carry non-kosher deli ever.
Because you always had a chash of...
kosher deli like that, but the OU, I mean, once things became glatt, that wasn't allowed anymore, so you have to peel the, you put it in a casing to cook it, otherwise you couldn't make a frank or whatever, and then you have a machine that peels it.
Yeah.
Whereas in tray, they don't peel the casing because it's not plastic, it's edible casing. Now you could get edible casing, but it's very expensive.
The milk casing,
a lot of people are afraid to do it. They make it, there's some synthetic involvement.
The milk casing was never absorbed into the meat?
Right. So that's the reason you weren't allowed to use it. They made some kosher, but it's still full of chemicals. You understand? Something has to change.
It's in the bottle and it's in the chapila, so if the guy made it, there was no problem.
So if a guy
made you the casing, there was no problem.
So you're not going to be able to carry a certain product because when you go to buy from a company, they're going to say, you can't buy this and this and not this and this from us. I can't go to Oscar Mayer and say, I only want this, this. I'm never going to take this.
They won't give you a contract. Okay, there's one other very big issue. We learned before about dogs. What about animal food? You have a dog. So all the dog food, a lot of the dog food is not kosher. Okay, it's not kosher. Are you allowed to be involved in the business of selling non-kosher animal food, dog food, cat food, whatever it is? So Rav Moshe says yes. The halach is only food that's meant for human consumption. Non-kosher products.
If you own stock in a company like somebody started to mention, that you won't stock in, let's say on Pesach you won't stock in Shias, you won't stock in Seagram's. Are you allowed to keep the stock in Seagram's over Pesach? The answer was yes.
Pesach is the extension of this
practice. Right, yeah, I understand. The answer was yes, because you're just dealing in the money end of it. That has nothing to do with...
With the product itself. But technically speaking, you do have a share in the product. However, Yesh Brera, they're not all of their products. Not
I'm always asked, but
not everything is.
I have stocks in
food. Some cash.
He asked you that question? It's a very big chumrah. It's a very big chumrah. Yes, if you have stock, and you have to sell stock.
He didn't say you have to sell. Do I have stocks in food? I said no.
If you invested
in a fund which you don't even know where your fund is invested, you put money in the bank. Look, you put money in the bank. You don't know where the bank is investing your money. Right? You have $5 in a savings account in the bank. Technically speaking, that $5 in that savings account is also being invested. Who knows where you're investing?
Today became people who own. It became a very popular thing. People who own vending machines.
Yeah.
So that became a problem with Shabbos. That became a problem with, you buy vending machines, you have somebody managing it, and they stock it to you, and who knows what's, you just see the profits coming in. You hire a manager, and they're stocking and various things. You're making profit from the machine. Somebody's buying from the machines on Shabbos. Somebody's buying, and maybe this product in there that's
not kosher.
What's not kosher about it is the basar v'chalav. Sometimes it will be.
You got a problem.
Those become a major problem already.
All right. Okay, but animal food is not a problem. You're allowed to buy animal food. You're allowed to be involved. It's not bas mechal. You're allowed to be involved in the business of selling animal food because it's not human consumption. Let's look at the Shi'adim Mitzionim Halacha, page Shin Chof Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Im hu davar hamiyuchad l'machal, machal, period. B'pischei tshuva hevi b'pri chatoi asher mutar liskar Bidam, Mishum the Iskish Lamayim. What about blood? Anyone in the business of blood, this is dangerous, you get the blood libels. You're in the business of blood. Maybe they need blood for different purposes, whatever it is. Are you allowed to be involved? So he holds that it's mut. Why? Allah Aritz Tishbechenu Kamoim. The pasuk compares blood to water. And just like water is mutter, blood is mutter. That's what he passed. Shemutter lischar bedam mishum de iskish lemayim. V'chein kasa b'ned b'Yehuda u'b'shalos tshuvas chasam soifer b'darkei tshuva hevi meshul shalos tshuvas b'chayim shekasa v'lahachmir. Disagrees. Machlokes applies. Everything is always machlokes. Af algav the dam shebishlo mirav. Even though the dam that has been cooked, once the dam has been cooked, it's no longer called a halachically dam. Mikol mokum. So since a lot of the blood today that I guess they is dealing with was cooked, mikol mokum hechmiru chazal bo. Okay, so he says that's machlokes is a person if you want to be involved in a business which deals with blood of animals or blood of a lot of animals. I am shall choose the Mirjesha. Nishal imutu lischar bikevo islachis menevelos atrefos. What about the stomach? I guess they needed the keva, the stomach of animals, of fresh animals, making cheese or whatever it was, other somewhere, kishka, whatever they may use it for. Are you allowed to be involved? It's kosher shem dechem and shemamidim bohem, shemamidim bohem, havi koime lachila, vilche yeshna sheikne me anachri boifen shakin yochel achash nesyavshu. The oz einim ruim lachila. He holds it's osir. Since over here they use these kevos, they use it for shema midin. They use it to produce cheese. They use it to produce food. It has the status of a food, and therefore it's osir. And the only solution is to buy it, if you can possible, to buy it when it's already hard like a rock. Once hard like a rock, it's not royally achila. So he's machmir. V'ayin b'shal shuvus melamed lohil. Shemutur mitam zeh lischar bedakin shel neveilois. V'trefos lasas mechem karkoshois. Nak nikim. Im hayu yuveish b'shal samachira. Okay, or some type of part, animal parts. Animal parts of non-kosher animals, and they're going to make some product out of it, so it's going to ultimately to be eaten by human beings. But if at the moment when it is purchased it is hard like a rock and it's not edible, even though through the manufacturing process they're going to make it edible once again, they're going to extract different derivatives of these non-kosher animal parts and make it into a product, if at the time when you buy it it's not edible, that is a heter, it's mutter. That's what he paskins. Next, the cholov gam ke mutter b'schara. What about milk? What about, I'm sorry, not chal, chela, fats. What about fats? Well, fats is the exception, because the pasuk says, beferish l'chol melocha ye'oseh. You're allowed to have pleasure from fat. Now he explains, because of Hashach, the davka chela shel behema tahira. This that it says that you're allowed to be engaged in business of fat, forbidden fats, that's only from a kosher animal. Aval shel behema tmeya also lasos by schara. But fats that come from non-kosher animals, it's no worse than the meat of a non-kosher animal, and it's also ayin sham. What? Soap is also very interesting. So with soap, it's not meant for eating. That's the difference. I thought he said the only time that it's also,
I understand.
It would be possibly problematic.
You
wash the dishes, it's only washing. I mean, you deal with that's another conscious problem, that if the soap is going to mix with your dishes. Exactly your case. We do today buy the fat of chazir, of a pig, lasos menu boris, to make soap. Mishum the afal pid apial roiv kvar nifkam ve'ena roil liachila ve'oimei lemalacha. The fat is not roil liachila. It's nifkam, and it's only roi for malacha. Of course, you're not going to use the fat on your dishes of l'chor. You don't want to make your dishes treif, make hot with the fat. But if you're going to use this soap for to clean your bathtub, then there's no problem whatsoever. And even though you're buying it, you're in the business of fat. It's not for achil. It's for avoid, and it's mutter. Ayin mizebedarki tshuva sham sherech mizebhevi me'achmon mekilin.
That a lot of, let's say, like cucumbers and things like that, and a lot of vegetable companies wax the fruit, or what they to make it shiny, but they wax the fruit.
Lard.
It was with animal fat.
Yeah. They still do it today. Yeah. The ayim is the bedak yeshuva sham sheherich bezer vehevi machmirim makilim. Gimel gam al yidei shaliach. Okay, he says, what about if you send an agent? If you're not going to be the one if you have in your possession, you are a slaughterhouse, and you have in your possession a non-kosher animal because it was a treifa. So you have to right away sell it to a non-Jew. Let's say you're not familiar with all the non-Jewish companies. Can someone as a Jew allowed to be in the business of buying the rejects from the slaughterhouse and selling it to non-kosher companies? You're mamish buying. On the one hand, you're mamish involved in the business of food that's forbidden. On the other hand, it's not a lechatchila. The source where you're getting the non-kosher meat is from a place which never wanted it to be non-kosher. They would have been thrilled if every single animal would have been kosher, would not have been an avela. So how do we look at this situation when you are the middleman? So the Kitzur Nov says it's aser. Even though tell me it should be mutter, because they never wanted to be non-kosher, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is it's not kosher. So how dare you step in the middle and purchase this lechatchila in order to make a profit by selling it to a non-kosher company? So gam al yidei shaliach, it's aser. V'imutter liyos sir subidvarm hasum. Now what about it? You're not going to be a shtich. You're not going to actually buy it. You're just going to be the middleman. You're just going to be a worker. Herich bezadarki tshuva vehevi meharbe achrenim shematirim lebesoiv kosav sobeli holtzmuter. If you're not actually buying it, you're just like the shatran. You're making all the arrangements of where it's going to go. You're the broker, and you're going to be paid for that. It's going to be your parnasa to be the broker to transfer non-kosher products to buyers, to vendors. So it's a machlokes apoiskim. He holds that many hold that it's mutter. It was soif kosa, mishal shuvu space shlomo, shetoli hadover ishaych achshash tilm osti lemechal mine olo. Ayin sham, it all depends on the situation. Sometimes you have access to the product. And if you have access to the product, you may come to eat the product, then it's osir. But if you have no shaykh, you're sitting in an office behind the computer, and you'll never see the product, so you don't ever owned it, you're just a broker, and you're making arrangements, you never see the product, mimeli holds that it's mutter ayin sham be ayin baruch hashulchan shekasav lehatir delegazru el lehechi shu koine oy moicher. You have to actually possess the property, the objects. For halcha she'ein a koine vein moicher evshu lehatir it's mutter. People have work. People they work non kosher companies where they actually they are accountants or they're or they're involved in marketing and sales, so they don't own it, they're just getting a commission, they're just involved in selling the product, and you hold it to its mutter. So basically it comes out that it's mutter. Are you allowed to be a worker? Are you allowed to work in the factory? You work in a factory, they make non-kosher candy. Are you allowed to press all the buttons and be involved? If that's the ideal profession to go into. It's also to work in the factory. But if you work in a factory and the owner of the factory is Jewish, then you're in trouble. Then there's a much greater problem. This is a problem today. There are people that have jobs. They work in factories, and the factories produce non-kosher products, and the factory is owned by a Jew. By you working there, you're being misayeya oivre avera. So it's more of a problem. If the owner of the factory is a non-Jew, so then you can find the heter. Not so simple, but you can probably find the heter. But if it's a Jew, then you're being misayeya oivre avera, then it's awesome.
I just talked to his guy yesterday.
Yeah.
He worked in a chewing gum factory.
Yeah. Okay, it's
a
problem.
We used to buy the baseball cards.
Tops.
He was in marketing for 10 years.
Marketing. So marketing is okay, but that's better.
Only trade part of the
it's not the factory.
The white powder, that white film that's on the gum.
Take the card. Throw
it sure
it
smell in. Good. The gum smell good. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Halacha, let's go to the laws of ribbis. Let's start the laws of ribbis. Kol davar she'asur. No, we won't sing it. Simin samach. Next simin, samachay. Lefi, the laws of ribbis. It's a hard loss. Lefi shenafshay shel adam b'tivoy choymed u'misave es hamaman. A healthy, normal person loves money. He's choymed. He has an intense desire u'misave taiva el hamaman. The karav yoyser sheyehei ha'adam nichshol b'isur ribis mebishar isurim shev mamon. From all of the possible nichsholim in the laws of Chesh and Mishpat, the easiest place to stumble is in the laws of Ribbis. Why? Why is Ribbis much, much greater Nisayon than Aina? Because Aina, you're going to get caught. Aina, if you cheat someone, they're going to catch you. They're going to come after you. But Ribbis, the nature of Ribbis is, we agree. You're not going to get caught. Sign the dotted line. We agree. I will lend you money and you will pay me back more. The only reason why I'm lending you the money is because you agreed to pay me back more. So you're not going to get caught. Adarabah, that's all part of the arrangement. So therefore, there's a much greater problem when it comes to ribbis and when it comes to other types of fraud. Ki the gazel, the aina, with regard to theft and cheating, the chadoyme, hareze mashkech alatzma, a person is careful, shlo yehei nigzol, v'shlo yisane, that he should not steal and he should not cheat. He should not be on either side. V'gam zeshu roitzel ligzol oy lohoynos eschaderoy, lupamu nimna meachmas pusha, oy machmas yira. And sometimes there are incentives, someone is watching. You don't want to get caught, you'll be embarrassed to be caught stealing, or you're afraid, you'll suffer, you'll be punished. Masha'en kin beribis. Ribbis is very dangerous because the nature of ribbis is such that everyone agrees. There's nothing to be embarrassed. There's no penalty. Everything is legal. Kosher v'yosher. Ki haloive noisin loy b'ritzoynei hatoiv. The borrower is glad to give you ribbis. V'hu sameach ki matzim makam l'voyis al kol panim ribbis. He's pleased that at least someone's willing to lend him money. He needs the money. He needs to make an investment. He's certain he'll make back his money. And it's hard to find someone that will lend him money. If you have to pay a small price, to play a little ribbis, a little interest, it's worth it. He's very happy. The person can easily fool himself. I'm doing him a favor. I'm lending him money he would not otherwise have access to. So therefore, I'm entitled to take a fee for my service and charge some ribbis. I'm lending him $100. He'll be able to make $1,000. So what's the big deal of charging $20 ribbis? It's an amazing kitzur shulchan aruch. You don't have this. You learn the whole daf. You learn the whole masechta bava mitzvah. You won't come across something like this. Okay, you learn the whole masechta bava mitzvah. You learn all the difficult sugyas of ribbis. You're not going to have such a hakdama to ribbis. Why ribbis is so dangerous relative to other forms of chesha mishpat. Other forms of chesha mishpat, you're scared. You're scared you're going to get caught. You're scared you're going to be punished. You're embarrassed. There are many safeguards, natural safeguards. Ribbis, there's no safeguards. Everyone is on the same page. Everyone is, all systems go. And that's why you have to be extremely careful not to be nichshol in this avera.
Let's say you have a case where the person says, I'm going to lend you money and at 20% interest. But rather than that, give me 12% of business.
Okay, it's very
an investment as opposed to a loan. Right.
Heter iska. The laws of ribbis are extremely complex, and we'll see very few examples when we go through. We're going to go through a very long siman. He gives a couple of examples, and possibly we'll see some more examples in the Shi'arim Islam Halacha, and possibly we'll try to supplement with some very popular, very common cases of ribbis. So we'll see. Let's hold off for a few moments. Of course, the solution is to have a heter iska. Heter iska has to be done the proper way. If they're willing to cooperate.
Right, yeah, but you have an Israel. What
are they doing
in Israel? You have everything. Is
Okay, so let's see what it says over here. Alkein hechmira torasenu hakadosha me'oid b'isr zeh v'harbe lavin nemru b'vo. He right here lays out the all of the lavin. Hamalve, the one that lends money with ribbis, oiver b'shish lavin. That's number one. Number two, this is really spooky stuff. V'lo yakom b'schias hameisim. He will not be resurrected. Shenemar baneshech nosan v'sar b'slokach. He gave money with ribbis and he took ribbis. V'choy, do you think you're going to live? You think you're going to live at the time of schias hameisim? Sorry, buddy. Lo yichye, you will not live. Haloive, the one who borrows money with ribbis, he's also a sinner. Oiver b'shloish alavin. Hasoifer, the scribe, the ho'edim, and the witnesses, the he'orev, and the co-signer, oivrim kol echad, b'lav echad, one lav. V'chein hasarser, the broker. What's the big deal? I didn't lend, I didn't borrow, I'm not the cipher, I'm not the witness, I'm not the co-signer, even the purr, the broker, v'chein hasarsu shahoya b'neyem, o shesiyeya le'echad mehem, v'chein shahoya mokom, he has told him, you need to borrow money, go to him, he'll lend you money, just be aware, he's going to charge you 30%. The one that, shahoya mokom l'hal l'haloyveh, l'lvois, o shahoya mokom l'hamalveh l'halvois, you want to get money back on your investment, is lend money, you also over in one lav base. If a person was nichshal, he must give the ribbis back. You don't say no, let bygones be bygones. I did the avera. What was? No, you have an obligation to return the money. Period. We'll see that in a few moments. The sevav, there are two exceptions where it's an avera. It's an avera midrabanan, but after the fact, you do not have to give the money back. We'll come to that soon. Gimel. Afilo leposak imo es ribbis b'shas halva. And we're going to see a little bit later on the ribbis de araisa. There are many different forms of ribbis. There's ribbis de araisa and there's ribbis de rabbanan. And then there's avak ribbis. Ribbis de araisa is only when at the time of the loan you make it clear that the borrower will pay interest. I'm lending you $100 for 30 days, and in 30 days you're going to pay me back $130. That is ribbis de araisa. It's cuts. You actually set the price at the very beginning of the loan. I'm only giving you the money if you're going to give me back interest, $130 in 30 days from now. 30% interest, for example. If you do not set a price, I'm lending you money, but it's understood. It's understood. I'm doing you a favor. I'm not going to say it. Oh, you need some money? Okay, here's $100. And then a month later, the borrower returns $130, and I accept it. We never, ever said anything about this. We never specified. That's ribis derabbanan. It was not specified, but still money was transferred from hand to hand with as a bonus. That is ribis midrabbanan. Now let's go back.
If it's a handless fee as opposed to interest, there's no percentage involved, it's just a fee.
A fee, it's also ribis. It's also ribis derabbanan.
Any kind of fee or anything?
Any kind of additional bonus you received for the benefit of lending someone money is ribis midrabbanan. Came out all the time. And that's why you always need to come on to a heter iska.
Has to be Israeli banks get it with
heter iska. All have heter iska. Even the Goyish banks have heter iska already. They all have hederiska. Everyone has hederiska. Hederiska, we'll go through later on, is a very complex mechanism where we basically alter the loan. It's not a loan. It's a business investment. When I'm giving you money, I'm not lending you money. I am your partner. Whatever you're going to use the money for, I am a partner in that enterprise. We're partners in the transaction. We're changing the structure of the transaction from a loan into a business venture. Okay, this is what lawyers do the whole day. Go talk to a tax lawyer. I know a tax lawyer. The whole day, what are we doing in order to avoid taxes? It's the same transaction. What's the big deal? I'm buying one company, it's buying another company. So what does the law say? Well, you buy a company, you have to pay tax. You have to pay $1 million tax. Okay, so we're going to restructure the transaction. It's not going to be that Microsoft is not going to buy this company. All these kunsim. So you do the whole day, you work out all of these complex legal loopholes in order that it should not be considered to be a buyout, so we should avoid to pay a steep tax. So that's really what heteriska is. Heteriska is that you restructure the transaction where it's not a loan, but it's a business venture. We'll come to that later on in the sentence. Heteriska. Let's just finish all these two
bills above.
Yes.
In a bill.
That could order a bill. That's a service. That's not lending money. You go to a restaurant and you buy food, and then you give the waiter a tip. There is no loan. You've received a service. I purchased food. You're my waiter. You provide a service. I'm giving you money for your service. There is no transfer loan. Ribis is only when I'm giving you additional money for the service of using your money. Giving
the money. The money is the use of a credit card. Then you have.
Yeah, you got a big problem. Credit card and a lot of modern day shilas. All these kunts and people. People who buy homes for their children and they have used credit cards and then mortgages and this one's name and that one's name and who's paying back the money. It's a maze to keep track of all of the complex arrangements people are making today, and many of these situations do involve problems of ribis. Rabbi Reisman is one of the big authorities on modern day applications of ribis, the laws of ribis. He once said about himself that he was once somewhere and someone came in, a prominent doctor, I think, and he saw he was reading his own books. Oh, the laws of rabbis.
Rabbis.
He didn't read the book right. Ribbis. He thought it said the laws of rabbis. Okay, here's an example. You did not specify in advance. It was just a free loan. How much money do you need? I need $100. Sure, here's $100. Adzman, when will you pay me back? 30 days. Adzman ploni. I don't have money. Can you give it to me on credit? Let me take the merchandise and I'll pay you back. You'll pay back 30 days. An invoice, right? Invoice, net 30. Or there was some service that was provided and therefore the money was not paid immediately on site, and the understanding was you have 30 days to pay for the service. Whatever the situation is, and now it's the time, now the date has arrived. 30 days are here. I have to pay you back the $100. I have to pay the invoice. I'm a store. I took in merchandise. And the invoice said that I must pay for the merchandise within 30 days. And now 30 days have arrived. I get a call from the warehouse, from the supplier. You owe us money. We sent you an invoice. You owe us $100. Where is the money? Sorry, business is slow. I need more time. You want more time? There's a fee. We have to charge you another $10 to give you an extension to pay the invoice for another 30 days. If you're going to take the fee, if you're willing to pay $10 more, then we'll extend the invoice for another 30 days, the collection date for another 30 days. Okay, I'll accept it. At that moment in time, you've just violated all of these laven. By extending the zman, the chayim agia zman ha-peraon, posek lo eze dover b'shvil she-yarchiv lo yasazman, gamzos hi ribis. This is also called ribis. This is ribis because now you're paying money for time. You're paying money for time in a situation where the service is money. The service is a delay for repaying money. That's the way you business. That's how. If I don't
but
remember.
The guy who owes the money is also Eivan.
Everyone is Eivan. Everyone. Everyone is Eivan Ribbis.
So how does he do business then? Because
Heteriska. Heteriska.
How does a person take out a loan for 1 month and switch it into an investment? That to me is.
It has to be. You're right. It's very hard. You're saying something very good. Once you already entered into a loan and now you want to transform it into a heteriska, it's very complicated. You have to be very careful.
Every store wants a supply, like a 30, 60 days.
Every store, right, exactly. Every invoice, every Jewish company, that's the way, that's the business. Accounting 101. Okay, accounting 101, if you pay within $30, within 30 days.
You know, you have a bankroll.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you're dealing with a Jewish company, you have to have a heter iska from the get-go. And if you don't have heter iska from the get-go, then you are really in a lot of trouble. You're right, absolutely. Okay, let's move a few more quickly. Halacha Dalet. Afilu im haloi v'noisen lo yoiser midaitoi b'shas ha-peraon. Shaloi histe imo v'eino oimer sh'noisen lo b'shvil ribis gam kein osa. Let's say it's a loan, $100. Do me a favor, lend me $100. And then a month later, the lender comes and here's $110. You never stipulated. I never demanded in advance you should give me another $10. I'm giving it as a gift. That's ribis. That's ribis midrabana. It's ribis midrabana.
A cup of flour, a cup of sugar, and then she brings you back, oh, here's a whole new bag.
It's ribis. That's also ribis. Even you bring you back exact amount, you can't be sure that it's exactly the same thing. It's a very big problem. Even to say thank you, okay, is also a very big problem. The Chiluk Ideas, how do you deal with this question? You borrow $100, a week later you return the $100, and when you give the money back, you say thank you. I'm giving you more than what I took. I took $100, I'm giving you back $100 plus a thank you. Is that proper? Chiluk Ideas. It depends. If you say thank you a little bit more, if you say just a very polite thank you, which is just normal, exactly, that's okay. But if you are give a lavish, thank you so much. You don't know what you did for me. You're a tzaddik. And you make the person feel good. That is awesome. That is awesome.
What is it about it? They could use a favor as collateral to be Makadosh
and Isha. The Hano, you have, you're giving a gift.
What was the thing in the...
It's worth money.
I used to push a pushcart in the garden center when I was a kid. 210, that 30.
Yeah, that's what we're discussing. 210, if you pay the money right away,
it's all 10 days, you get 2% discount. If not, you have to pay the rent.
That's ribbis. That is mamish ribbis.
The garment center does that as a.
You have to have your Jewish company, you have to have heteriska. Anyone that's a Jewish company, automatically, the aleph beis of opening up a business today in the modern world is heteriska. You can't go down arms on a heteriska. Even if he gives him the money, I'm not giving you as long as you give him matana. Gam kein also the kavlo mimenu, you're not allowed to receive it. Avolim kvar lokach mimenu ribis v'hamalva oisat shuva v'roitz lachzir lahaloyve v'humoichol loy muta. However, if he does give it to him as a matana, even though it was forbidden to accept, it was forbidden. But now later on you realize you did the Avera and you come back and you want to give it to the person who doesn't want to take it, then you're allowed to keep it. Because it was not a ribbis d'oraisa. Ribbis d'oraisa is only when at the time of the loan you set the price. At the time when we borrow the money, you agree, I'm going to pay you more money in return. But if you don't make that agreement, and the person gives it the matana, and even though you're not allowed to accept it, if you do accept it, and later you make the money, it's okay. Okay, well, no, we'll stop over here. But I'll tell you just one drush, one yisoid. The reason why ribbis is such somewhat problematic, let me ask a very basic question. Let's say you rent an object, right? I have a bowling ball. Okay, I have a bowling ball. I want to go bowling. So my friend wants to go bowling. Can I borrow your bowling ball? So I'm not going to give you. If you give me a few dollars, if you give me $10 for a day, you can rent my bowling ball. I'm giving you a crazy example. You can rent my bowling ball. Okay. So what are you paying for? You're paying for the time, right? I'm borrowing the bowling ball, I'm returning the bowling ball, and I'm giving you $10. So what have I given you $10 for? For the use of the bowling ball for one day.
The rental.
Okay, rental. Every case of rental. Here's the bowling ball. For using the bowling ball, I'm giving you $10. Why is that perfectly permitted? There's no havamina in the world that should be forbidden. Why is it any different than when it comes to money? Here's $100. I'm giving you $100. Give it back to me tomorrow. You have 24 hours to return it to me. I take the $100 bill. Tomorrow I return the $100 bill. And for the use of this $100 bill, I give you $10. And that is usur, the whole world comes to an end. 5 lavin, 3 lavin, 1 lav, the whole world. What's the difference? Why is rental permitted? Why is a loan forbidden? So the answer is, let's explain the answer. It's very powerful inside. The answer is, when the bowling ball, who owns the bowling ball every single moment of time? The bowling ball is still owned by the owner. Reuven is the owner of the ball. Shimon is borrowing, he's using, but every single moment of time, the ball is still owned by Reuven. When it comes to money, there's a principle called milve lehoitza nitna. The moment that Shimon takes that crisp $100 bill, Reuven no longer owns that $100 bill. The obligation is something that's not tangible. It's invisible. There's no mamoshes. A bowling ball, it weighs 10 pounds. It is a davar shel mamash. Who owns that davar shel mamash? Reuven. For you using my bowling ball, you have to pay me $10 for a 24-hour period of time. But the object is always mine. When you lend someone money, even if you lend them gold coins, the moment you release the money from your hand into the hand of your friend, it's an intangible obligation. Shimon has to pay back value. Touch it. You can't. It's something which is conceptual. Between me and you, there's an understanding. I, Shimon, owe you $100. I can't touch what I owe you. You can't touch what you originally owned. It's something which is floating in the air. Davar shein bei mamish. And for that, you're going to pay me $10. In other words, you're creating a profit out of a davar shein bei mamish. That borders on apikorsis. Now, what I'm saying doesn't make any sense. What does that mean? Because in this world, we have to recognize that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avodah Zara is built on the principle of davar she'ein bo mamish. Idolatry means that the world came into existence and there's no creator. The world is hefker. To take something from someone, to create a yesh me'ayin, to create value, profit, from a loan, from money, you're creating something out of nothing. Because once you lend someone money, milva lehoitza nitna, the money doesn't exist anymore. What exists between you and your friend is something which is ayin, which is just an agreement between the two. And to take an ayin, something which is not tangible, and use that as a foundation to charge, to gain, to create profit in this world, resembles the concept of Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
Avodah Zarah is a creation built upon nothing. That's apikorsis. This world has a creator. This world has the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you have an object and you let someone use the object, you're gaining profit, you're creating profit from something which is tangible. There is yesh miyesh. I'm gaining from something which is yesh. You're living in this world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate yesh. He is the creator. Everything that we have comes from Him. That's perfectly fine, as long as you recognize there's a creator. But when you take the creator out of the picture and He disappears, you lend money. Money that you lend disappears. It's davar shein mamash, milvelo hitzadnina. And for that service, you're going to create money. I'm going to charge you money. That resembles the idea of yesh v'ayin, which is not proper. That's a drush to explain the significance to chomer hadavar, why we don't allow. Torah is extremely makbid to stay away from ribbis.
That's why Rabbi Schwab makes an interesting deal on the pasuk. Al pinach meito neshef v'sarbis v'chei ochicha yimach.
Yeah.
He said that's the operative word over here. Why, if I go out, if I have a business and I sell you a bottle of soda, in other words, like what you say, and I paid a dollar and I could charge you $1.50, nothing wrong with that. Why, at the same time, can't I lend you a dollar and get back $1.50 from you? It's no different.
What's exactly, it's no different.
So, because the thing is, in other words, if you wanted to establish that Kol Yisrael are Reb Mazel Ozeh, if your brother came to borrow money from you, would you ask him for $1.50 back?
Yeah, $3.
Yeah, all right. But in other words, you would more likely give him the loan. I knew what was coming.
You'd
more likely give it to him for not without charging him interest. But
that's a different idea. Okay, that's a different approach.
Well, that's what he says. Okay.
But if you want a contract,
yeah,
tangible enough.
It's not tangible. A contract is an obligation. I have an obligation to pay you for something that's not tangible.
Commission.
It's enforceable in law. It's not tangible.
It's part of like almost Heather in the Darn Parkless Bob.
How about if you borrow money?
Yeah.
Put in a safe as collateral, and it's not taken out. That actual.
Oh, you have a mashkoin. So you have a mashkin that's very different than Nechanami, that you have to, there's still a loan. You have to know how it's arranged. You have to know how it's arranged.
What about Ali? You tell somebody, go to so-and-so, and he may buy what you have.
Okay, I'm not sure. We'll see in the future.
You find the service.